This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
And I'm Rich Moreno.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
Today was Congressman Aaron Schock's final day in office. This all happened within the last 2 months, really, some intense investigations into some of his spending. And that's what I want to focus on today is the investigative journalism that went into this story the past couple months. We have talked many times on this program about the shrinking size of newsroom staffs, and we talk about how important it is to have more reporters available to do some digging, to do some investigative journalism. And I think this is a perfect example of what happens when you have adequate staffing and you can do investigative pieces. Because for the most part, this story was not done by local news organizations. And in fact, I don't think any of it was really broken by news organizations within Schock's congressional district. This was larger organizations such as USA Today and the AP and Political, places that have a lot of reporters on staff and can spend time looking into a particular story and really doing the digging and unearthing some of the problems, some of the issues.
Yeah, and this story seems to begin, although it may have, depth somewhere else, but it seems to begin with his office and the Downton Abbey-inspired decor, although the designer, which was a company called Eurotrash, said that they were not inspired by Downton Abbey. They wanted to make sure that was clear within the article. But that is kind of where things began, is that a reporter, I believe from Washington Post, went in and they noticed the office and they wanted to talk to Aaron Schock about it. And the designer was there, gave a tour, and then later the chief of staff came in and said, okay, we can't talk about the office. You're going to have to go.
Well, they didn't want photographs taken.
Yeah, they didn't. In fact, they wanted the reporter to delete the pictures as well, which I don't believe he did, but he said that, well, if you don't want me to, cover this right now, I can wait, but I want Schock to get back to me. And then later on, the reporter was told, well, no, they don't want to talk about the office at all.
It's a little thing like that. What would have been just pretty much a puff piece on the redecoration of that office.
Well, yeah, I mean, when is that news that someone redecorates their office?
Yeah.
Well,
so,
the fact that
usually.
It was done in that type of style,
right.
When
mm-hmm.
you think of the way congressional offices usually look.
Oh,
and
sure.
Then I'm sure some other editor at the Washington Post was wondering where did that money come from.
Well, yeah.
And, of course, the red flags that are raised by the chief of staff saying, no, you can't do this.
Right, right.
That right there would make me suspicious.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. And I think that for whatever reason, they obviously ticked off the Post. The Post then began to do a little more digging, and then they uncovered the fact that this chief of staff had made some several years earlier or months
just a couple years ago.
A couple years ago had made some racist tweets on Twitter, and he ended up having to resign from his position. But that kind of was the, when the dam started to have a crack in it. and then we started to see, and I'm not sure why all of this cascade of media attention was put on Aaron Schock. But it may have been that he invited it. We haven't really talked about the kind of congressman. I mean, he was very out there in terms of being on Instagram, which I'm sure Rich will talk about in a minute, and on Twitter and in all the social media. He kind of saw himself as the social media congressman. He was on the cover of Men's Health with his shirt off because he's also,
fitness
a fitness
guru.
Freak.
Mm-hmm.
He had kind of established this very much public presence. And I think maybe that's what made him a juicy target.
Well, and you mentioned the Instagram photos that played into this investigation where I believe it was the AP compared the Instagram photos with some of his travel expenses that he billed taxpayers for, which I thought was just a a brilliant piece of investigative journalism.
Yeah, and it's important to remember he's not being looked at because he has a fancy office necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's because he accepted a gratuitous service.
And, yeah, exactly. And that's what came out, is that he didn't pay for that office.
Right.
There's $40,000, which is a lot of money,
yeah,
to spend on redecorating an office, which generally they're pretty drab, like you said. And that he had accepted as a gift and didn't report it.
Yeah.
And then that's what got everybody kind of, looking into some of the other things. And the rest of this, I don't know if you want to say scandal, but all of the various little scandals started to pile up. There's a real estate deal where he had a donor, build a home in the Peoria area. A bank that was owned by a donor financed the home, so he didn't actually have to put anything up for it. And then he tripled the money in a very short period of time by selling the home to another donor, which, maybe it's a gray area, but it certainly appears almost like a way of getting around campaign finance laws.
And again, the journalism that went into this, I think news outlets throughout this congressional district probably do a good job of day-to-day type of reporting, but many of them are small operations. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about organizations such as USA Today, the Associated Press, the Washington Post at the beginning, Politico, the Chicago Sun-Times,
right,
got involved.
Yeah.
Organizations that can send reporters out to just dig on one particular story, mm-hmm, even if they don't produce a story every day. Maybe it takes them a week to, mm-hmm, come up with something, but this allows them the time and freedom because they have the staff size that allows that. And I think this gets back to a point we've made many times on this program about how important it is,
sure,
to have a well-staffed newsroom.
Well, and to get to your point, it's kind of sad and to a certain extent is that the local papers, yeah, they cover, when Schock gives a speech, when he shows up, he came to Macomb just recently,
mm-hmm,
but they don't have the resources. You didn't see the Peoria Journal Star, the biggest paper in his congressional district, or the Pantograph, which is another large paper that's in his district, do any kind of investigative reporting because,
yeah,
they don't have the resources.
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing about Tri-State's public,
yeah,
radio.
Well,
and
the
there are several other public, yeah, radio stations within his congressional district, but we don't have the same size staff as, for example, USA Today or even the Chicago Sun-Times.
No.
Well, and even though the Sun-Times has been cutting back on staff quite a,
sure,
bit too.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important to invest in journalism and in those newsrooms and make sure that you have people who understand what to look for. Because in the very beginning, when this whole thing came out about the office and that it was a free service, that and the designer wanted to make that known. I mean, she, mm-hmm, definitely expressed that.
Well, it was PR for her.
Well, yeah, absolutely. She started this whole thing inadvertently, I think,
yeah,
because she wanted a little publicity,
yeah,
for,
I agree,
herself.
But people didn't pick up right away. At least even the person who wrote the story didn't necessarily say anything about, well, I don't actually think this is legal.
Right.
You know,
no, this,
it came out.
Yeah.
I ended up reading the original article. And in the comments section is where people started chiming in and saying, you know, the problem is not the office, but the fact that he's, taken, mm-hmm, something for free and something so pricey for free, because I think their cutoff is maybe $50.
Yeah, it says $50 is, yeah, the limit of gifts you can accept as,
yeah,
a member of Congress.
So that's why it's so important to know what you're looking for. But obviously, the local our local media do not go to D.C. and they would not have necessarily just happened upon this story. But sometimes things like this happen. But the problem is when you are faced with such a story, now you're playing catch up.
Well, it was good to see larger news organizations latch on to this, because it would have been easy for them to just dismiss it as being someone from central Illinois and not really,
oh, sure,
care about it.
And I think, the final straw really on the whole issue was the AP story, where they finally started to – when they reported on the stuff about his vehicles, about how he had – and again, it would take somebody with resources to dig into that, but they compared – the odometer readings when he purchased a Tahoe vehicle, and then when he sold it, and there was some 80,000 miles, mm-hmm, total that he put on, but he had asked for reimbursement for more than double that. And at 50-something cents a mile, that's a pretty good chunk of change that he asked the taxpayers for mileage that he apparently didn't drive, at least,
yeah,
not with that vehicle.
Big discrepancy, and that was the only vehicle that he had registered.
Right.
So that was important part, too.
Hey, we have run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.